Please join me in Leviticus chapter number 12. We're actually going to start in verse 6 in a moment. Let me just remind you that the book of Leviticus is a rule book for Levites. So there's a lot of technical stuff in here. It's a tech manual, an operations manual. It is not for devotional reading. It is useful in understanding Jewish laws of cleanliness. Now, we're not talking about cleanliness as in hygiene, but as in clean, unclean, ceremonially. In chapter number 12, the first five verses, it was all about when a woman gives birth to a baby. If it's a baby boy, then she is, quote, unclean. I like the word off limits. For the first 7 days of that baby's life. Day number 8, he gets circumcised and named, so she's able to participate in that ceremony. But for the next 33 days after that, for a total of 40 days, she and that baby boy are kind of together. Then they have their dedication ceremony. Then if it's a young woman that's born, a baby girl, then the days of, quote, uncleanness at the beginning are 14, so twice the amount. There's probably some sort of naming ceremony that happens at some point in there. And then there's another 66 days for a total of 80 days mom and baby spend together. Then there's a dedication. The reason for the double, I believe, is because the baby girl is going to be the source of life, and therefore is, and I use this phrase advisedly, twice as valuable, because she will be the one that brings life into the world. Remember that the first woman was given the name Hava, which means life giver. And the only two entities that is applied to would be women and God himself. Now, verse number 6 is the dedication ceremony. When the days of her purification are completed, whether for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Now later it will be at the temple gate, and she will bring a lamb a year old for a burnt offering. Now remember, we have five different key offerings that are mentioned in the first seven chapters of the book of Leviticus, and so we've already talked about those. And then a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, and he shall offer it before he who is and make atonement for her. I kind of describe this as she's coming back to church. She's coming back into the community of worship with these sacrifices because she's been off for either 40 days or 80 days, depending on whether it was a baby boy or a baby girl. So she has to be brought into the community of believers properly. Verse 7 continues, then she shall be clean from the flow of her blood, so she's no longer off limits. This is the law for her who bears a child, either male or female. If she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two pigeons, one for the burnt offering, other for the sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Now that last part helps us understand the financial status of Mary and Joseph whenever they took baby Jesus, 40 days old, to the Temple Mount in order to dedicate him to the Lord and to bring Mary back into the community of believers for the first time in 40 days. They could not afford a lamb. They had to pay the birds instead. And so that gives us a sense of they were just making ends meet. But they did follow these procedures. Now, when you go and read that story in the book of Luke, they are met there in the temple, which would have been flooded with a couple of 100,000 people. They were met by two prophets, one male, one female, that identified Jesus as a very special person. Chapter 13. And with this, I'm going to have to remind you that from time to time, I critique English versions. The Word of God is inspired. But the Word of God that we're talking about being inspired were the original documents in their original languages. We have had to translate over time from the original Hebrew or Aramaic of the Old Testament and the Greek of the New Testament. And those translations are not inspired. Hopefully, in most cases, they have been very carefully done. And in the introduction to our sixth time through the Scripture, I spent some time talking about the importance of picking your translations. And I said at the time that we were going to use the English Standard Version because it falls into the category of a strict translation where they tend to do verb for verb tense and noun for noun, whether it's first person or second person, third person, plural, singular, male, female, neuter, all of that. So they tend to be much more strict than a dynamic equivalence, which is it tends toward paraphrase, but not exactly. It's heading that way. It's thought for thought. I like New American Standard, but it has problems in chapter 13 and 14. I like the English Standard Version, but it has problems in chapters 13 and 14 here in Leviticus, and here's my reason why. They substitute English words that do not properly represent the literal meaning of the Hebrew and Greek words that appear here. And the reason for this is because over time, within Christendom, the scholars have all come to the conclusion that leprosy is Hansen's disease. And actually, nowadays, the Hansen's disease is still found in connection with the word leprosy. In fact, I was doing a search online, and I used my voice command, and I said, "What is Hansen's disease?" And guess what popped up? It popped up some responses on leprosy. So what's Hansen's disease? Hansen's disease is a neurological problem. It's contagious. It is transmittable from person to person, which deadens the sensation, typically in the extremities, like the fingers, the toes, the ears, the nose, the lips, anything that is very dead-ended in the blood flow, dead-end into a smaller area. And so what happens is the nerves go bad in those extremities. The person damages those areas without realizing it, and a problem occurs, and they don't catch it, and so there's tissue death, necrosis, and it's a problem. That's not what we're talking about here. We are talking about a mark, and that's actually the literal meaning of one of the words here, a mark that is put on a person, place, that's another reason why it can't be Hansen's disease, or thing. An object. And it's put there by God to indicate a need for evaluation as to whether or not it is acceptable to remain in use or remain in fellowship in the community? Or does it need to be removed? Or is it something that needs to be destroyed? And that is the responsibility of the priests to do the evaluation. One of the things that I teach whenever I get to this passage is that leprosy seems to be the source of symbolism for church discipline that we read about in the New Testament era. And that is, and you'll see this, if someone sees sin in somebody else, it is their responsibility to go to them and say, "Hey, I think you've got a problem." And then they let it go for a little while for the person to kind of think about it, chew on it, decide whether or not they need to repent or to respond and say, "No, I haven't done anything wrong and this is why." Then after that first period of time, if no change has happened, that period of evaluation goes by and no change has occurred, that person that made the first diagnosis of sin is supposed to go and get assistance. I always recommend taking the shepherds of your church, the elders of the church, your leaders of your church, go privately back to that person and try again. And then give them a little time. And if they don't respond after that second period of evaluation, that's when you take them before the private meeting of the local congregation and challenge them one more time. It's a family intervention. And if they won't respond with repentance, they are, quote, excommunicated, end quote, which basically means they're kicked out of the family. They have their privileges, their rights as a Christian revoked. They are handed over to Satan, that's the language that Paul uses, for the destruction of their bodies, always with the hope that they will come back, always with the hope that eventually they'll come to their senses. And this type of church discipline is always given with love and with expectation that repentance will occur. That's the goal. So the leprosy procedures, the leprosy description is symbolic of that New Testament procedure you will see. With that background, let's dive into the text itself. "He who is spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a person has on the skin of his body a swelling," so it's getting bigger than it should be, "or an eruption, a sudden appearance, or a spot, something that's different. And it turns into," and I'm going to read to you first the English Standard Version's wording, "and it turns into a case of leprous disease on the skin of his body." Now, the word leprous here is actually just the word for something different, an affectation, something has occurred. And the word for disease is actually the word for, an onset of something, the sudden appearance of it. So I'm going to use the word effect or affect. Okay, so let me go back and reread it, I think, the way that it should be read, because that represents the original language better. So, when a person has on the skin of his body this swelling or an eruption or it's a spot, and it turns into a mark of the onset, or the onset of a mark on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons, the priests, and the priest shall examine the affected area on the skin of his body. So my point is we need to take the word disease out of the equation here, because it is not a disease. It is an effect. It is a mark placed upon a person, place, or thing by God for a reason. The reason is the people need to be evaluated for something. All right, now into the more detailed aspects of this. If the hair in the affected area has turned white and the affection or the affectation appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, so it looks like it goes down deep. As best I can tell, the thing that we're talking about here is suddenly there's the loss of skin color, and the skin begins to look like it's translucent even. One of the ways that we can appreciate that this is what's going on is when Miriam was affected with leprosy by God, and she had to remain affected by leprosy for 30 days. What was her sin that God had affected her with leprosy over? She had been complaining that Moses was married to a black woman. So she was exhibiting racist behavior based on skin color. And so what does God do? He takes her skin color away, makes her translucent white. That was a good lesson for her to learn. So leprosy, the mark that God places, is the removal of skin color as its major component. So if the hair of the diseased area has turned white and the disease or the mark, the affectation, appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, then it is a case of the mark of, or the onset of this mark from God. When the priest has examined him, so the priest is going to be acting as the judge as to whether or not this is really a mark from God. That's the important thing, because there are some things that mimic some of the symptoms, shall we say, of this leprous mark. So when the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him unclean. Remember, that means off limits. So he is put on a time out where he is not allowed to interact with other people who are in the community and clean. Verse 4, but if the spot is white in the skin of his body and appears no deeper than the skin, so it's a surface thing, and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest shall shut up the affected person for 7 days. So we have a one-week evaluation period. That's one of the reasons I connect this to the New Testament idea of church discipline. A week is a really good time to let somebody chew on a challenge that what they've been doing is a sinful thing. The priest shall examine him on the seventh day. And if in his eyes the effect is checked, meaning it's completely unchanged or it's going backwards, then the affection or the affectation has not spread in the skin, and then the priest shall shut him up for another 7 days. So it's not gone, it's still there, but it hasn't gone even bigger. And so another period of evaluation is needed. And remember, in church discipline, what do? We give him a period of time, check back, give him another period of time, then check back. Let's see here. The priest shall examine him on the seventh day, which is going to be the 14th day from original. If the affected area has faded and the affectation has not spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only an eruption, meaning it's just a skin thing. He shall wash his clothes and be clean. So he's been out of touch with the community for 7 days or 14 days. And so he has to be reintroduced into the community of believers by going through a cleansing ceremony. But, verse 7, if the eruption spreads in the skin after he's shown it to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear before again before the priest. The priest shall look. If the eruption has spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is this affectation mark. And when a man is afflicted with this, he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall look. If there is a white swelling in the skin that has turned the hair white, and there is raw flesh in the swelling, it is a chronic or a persistent form of this mark of leprosy in the skin of his body, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. The mention of the swelling here, the white swelling, reminds me to tell you that the word for leprosy in Hebrew is related to the word for hornet. Now, why is that? Well, think about when you got stung by either a hornet or a yellow jacket or a wasp or a bee. More than likely, you had a big old welt come up on your skin around the sting. And what color was that welt? It was more than likely a whitish color. And so the leprosy mark does resemble, in some aspect, what the sting of a stinging insect kind of looks like. So if they see that, and there's kind of raw flesh in the swelling, meaning that there must be like an what looks like at least a small open wound, then the priest is going to pronounce him unclean or off limits. He shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. It's obvious that there's a problem here. And it looks very much like leprosy because it's got that white swelling area on the skin. Verse 12, if the mark of leprosy or the leprous affectation breaks out in the skin so that it covers all the skin of the diseased person from head to foot, so far as the priest can see, then the priest shall look. And if it has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean of the affectation. It's all turned white. He is clean. So apparently, if it goes over the entire body, then there was some reason to believe, well, that's not leprosy. That's something totally different. He is counted as clean and allowed to come back in society. But when raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean, off limits. The priest shall examine this raw flesh and pronounce him unclean. Raw flesh is unclean. It is a mark of leprosy. Raw flesh, open flesh, is always going to be a problem for the ceremonial cleanliness because it's going to be oozing a blood product, and therefore it's always off limits. So this special version of the leprosy mark has that additional aspect to it, and so that's an automatic. But then when it recovers, verse 16, and it turns white again, then he shall come to the priest. Priest shall examine him. If the effect has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce the diseased person clean. He is clean. If there is in the skin of one's body a boil and it heals. So I've never had a boil, but some of you may have. When it heals up, sometimes there's a little bit of a scarring effect that happens. So that needs to be distinguished here. Verse 19, in the place of the boil, there comes up a white swelling or a reddish-white spot. Then it shall be shown to the priest. The priest is going to look at it. If it appears deeper than the skin, so there's another one of the key things. This affects down through the dermal layer. the dermis. So the priest is going to look and will pronounce, if the hair has been turned white, he's going to pronounce him unclean, off limits. It is a case of leprosy that's broken out in the boil. It just happened to pop there. If the priest examines it, but there's no white hair in it, and it's not deeper than the skin, well, that doesn't sound like leprosy, does it? And in fact, if it's faded, then the priest will shut him up 7 days. So we're going to do a just-in-case evaluation. If it spreads in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the mark. But if the spot remains in one place and doesn't spread, well, it's just the scar of the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. When the body has a burn on its skin, and we all know that burns scar, and the scar is often similar to what leprosy would look like. The skin, he has this on his skin, and it's the raw flesh. The burn becomes a spot, reddish or white. The priest is going to examine it. If the hair in the spot's turned white and it appears deeper than the skin, then it is the leprosy issue. It's broken out of the burn, and the priest is going to pronounce him unclean. And then we have the exact same things again. He has to be put aside for a week, and then it's reevaluated on the seventh day, verse 27. If it's spreading, then he's going to be unclean. It is definitely a leprosy issue. But if the spot remains in one place and does not spread on the skin but it's faded, well, then it's just a swelling from the burn. It's just kind of a raised-up scarring. And the priest is going to pronounce him clean. It's just the scar of a burn, and therefore no reason for the man or the woman to be kept out of the society of the believers. Well, we've run out of our time, but we've still got a little bit more to go. We'll do that the next time we get into the Word.